Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hi, I'm Mike Dilk, and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family, and your friends. Each week, I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi, and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. In the UK, we are a nation of dog lovers, and my guest is Simon Pope from the charity Four Paws UK. And the topic is dogs and dog breeders. There's currently a real problem in the UK with illicit dog breeders creating misery for man's best friend.
One of the first messages is do not buy via social media if you possibly can do. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok is an absolute wild west for illegal breeders. They are selling animals that have been brought in from overseas, being bred in very, very poor conditions, and an awful lot of them are very, very ill.
So if you love dogs, you're planning to be a dog owner, or even if you just kind of like dogs, do stay tuned for a great and important show. Thank you. Simon Pope is from the charity Four Paws UK. And dogs, you know, they're an important part of the family. You know, they make us go out on walks. They provide joy. We get a lot of loyalty from our four-legged friends, from dogs. And so I was wondering, do dogs get anything back? Or do we tend to ignore their well-being?
It's a good question. I mean, I think dogs love us back unconditionally. I think, and I say this as a dog lover as well, although I am a cat lover, and I think cats can be slightly more indifferent, perhaps. But, dogs love you absolutely unconditionally. I used to work for an MP in the House of Commons, and it was really interesting how MPs always spoke whenever they had an opportunity in a debate about their dogs. And I think it was because they had such a hard time from their constituents sometimes that when they went back home, they would find that their dogs just gave them a completely unconditional love. And they just thought, great, someone does like me after all.
I suppose being an MP, someone hates you, whatever you choose, there's someone who doesn't like it. Yeah,
generally find that. So having a dog at home. So I think, to answer your question, they do give a lot back to you. But I mean, you hit the nail on the head at the outset, saying from a health point of view, encouraging people to go out for a walk, encouraging them. Like you, I'm sure, you go out for a walk, you see people, you see the other dog owners, and you have a chat with them, and so you socialize, and that that's a stimulating experience as well. So they give us an enormous amount, and I think that what we saw particularly during COVID is that when people recognized they were going to be shut inside for a long time, and often they didn't have that kind of stimulus, then dog sales went through the roof, and to some extent we're still seeing part of that phenomenon where there are a lot of people are perhaps in a way they weren't pre-COVID buying dogs, continuing to buy dogs, but amazingly there's a million dogs are being bought and sold each year in the UK.
That is a lot of dogs, considering there's 65 million of us in the UK.
Yep. Yeah, so we think we imagine there's about 12 million dogs in the UK, although it's very hard to pin that down to a figure. But yeah, a million dogs bought and sold every year. And
so has really providing dogs to the great British dog-loving public become quite lucrative? So where there's money to be made, unscrupulous people will step in if, you know, if there's a gap and fill it.
Massive problem that's been identified. And I think that, you know, we used to have that system a while ago with poppy farms. We don't hear quite so much about poppy farms anymore, but they're still out there. They still exist. To some extent, what's happened is that they've been replaced now by people, unscrupulous breeders and dealers, importing them illegally into the UK. So you're getting dogs that are being bred in very poor conditions in Eastern Europe. Four Paws has done a lot of research on this, tracking that trade from parts of Europe where they're being taken on very long journeys and brought into the UK and sold. And what we found, sadly, is that a lot of those animals are ill and they have not had the best start in life that they should have done. And they're being sold to unsuspecting buyers, mainly through online social media sites, which is the main platform by which dogs are being sold now on the UK, sadly. Buyers are being duped into buying what they think is a healthy dog, but actually it's got a much greater likelihood of developing diseases and a much greater likelihood, sadly, of dying young, and of course costing an awful lot of money in the meantime in vet bills. Yeah. So why
is this? Is this because the dogs essentially are inbred, so they're not healthy when they come?
I think they're just not given. I mean, you know, here in the UK, you know, you do have a licensed breeder system, and as part of that obligation of a licensed breeder, those licenses issued by local authorities, those dogs have to be inoculated. They have to be, their mum has to be healthy. So I have to check that mum is a healthy dog and fit to breed. But also that those dogs have had, the proper injections and inoculations and the certificates to prove that that's been the case. And they've had the best start in life possible. A lot of the dogs that are being imported, they haven't checked to find out whether mum is fit to breed. They haven't had those injections, or they might have had certificates, but they've been falsified. And they've been bred in factories. Basically, it's almost like intensive farming for dogs. These are just churning out puppies. And The reason for that is because, as you said at the start, astronomical prices. I mean, it always used to be the case, certainly when I was growing up, that you could, you know, if you put word out that you were looking for a puppy, you'd get one sort of 50 or 60 pounds or something like that. But I mean, people are now paying upwards over £1,000. In fact, the average price, I think, for buying a puppy now in the UK is over £1,000. And really? So that gives you some indication.
And presumably for sought-after dogs, yeah, it's even more.
Yep, so cockapoos, French bulldogs, dachshunds, all of these things. I mean, these things go through cycles. But there is always a kind of latest must-have. And if you can't get it through a licensed breeder because supply can't keep up with demand here in the UK, then you can just put word out. And actually, some of these dogs are being almost bred to order. So you put in an order, and then the machine starts somewhere in Europe, and then 6 weeks later or eight weeks later, you'll get a puppy arrive in the UK.
Now, so is it actually legal to sort of bring puppies in from elsewhere?
There is a legal commercial trade, but it's a tiny fraction of the numbers that are actually coming in. It's very difficult to tell how many are actually coming in, but thousands. I mean, probably tens of thousands.
And how do they come in? Like lorry loads? Is it literally a lorry coming on the ferries from Dover full of dogs?
Quite often, or at least, you know, probably what's more likely is they're smuggled in the back of a car. So there'll be a litter of pups, perhaps eight or nine pups that are sort of covered over with a blanket and driven into the UK. Now, the good news, and as much as there can be good news about this, is there is a bill going through Parliament right at the moment. Danny Chambers, who is actually a vet, an MP, is taking forward a private member's bill to crack down on puppy smuggling, and that would reduce the numbers of pups that can be brought in, and also put an age limit on the ones that can be brought in as well. And that is going to have, we believe, a profound effect on cutting off this trade. People will still try and do it again because of the enormous profits that can be made. Yeah. But up until now, it's been a very low risk, high reward industry. And so there hasn't been any proper disincentive for anybody to not do it, I suppose. And of course, then that all has a knock-on effect on the licensed breeding industry here in the UK, the good end of the market, if you like, because people are just choosing to simply go on Instagram or Facebook and look and see what's available. And, you know, we've got major concerns about their ability or willingness even to properly police those platforms to make sure that unlicensed breeders are not selling on there. And the fact is that, you know, most of the breeders selling on those platforms are unlicensed breeders who are bringing in pets from overseas.
Yeah. Okay. And presumably, if you see a picture online, that might not be actually a picture of the mother or the dog you'll end up with. You know, they just find a nice picture.
No, and quite often you'll find that the same picture of a particularly cute French bulldog is used across multiple platforms because it's a very cute picture of that bulldog. So, you know, again, this is why it's so important to, as a first step, buy dogs from licensed breeders here in the UK. And, you know, licensed breeders that are licensed by your local authority and have had that verification. You talked about the importance of going and seeing the mum with the pups at the same time. You can only do that if that's a licensed breeder. And it's really, really important because, you know, quite often with a lot of these illegally bred or unlicensed operators, mum could be the other end of the country or even somewhere in Europe. So, you know, the rules are there to actually help protect you as a buyer and make sure that that dog has had the best start in life it possibly can do.
Yeah. All right.
But our research has found that there are gaps in that system. The license system here in the UK, of course, people should always buy from a licensed breeder. But the system needs to be reformed and reshaped because there is so much illegality out there.
Yeah, let's talk about licensed breeders in this country then. So two things really. Is it easy to get a license? You know, how many licensed breeders are there? Is it still another way of making a fast buck if you want to?
Well, there are a lot of very, very good licensed breeders out there, but I think the problem is that the way the system is set up, the whole purpose of a license is to protect animal welfare. That is paramount. There's no, you know, the everything else is just gravy. But the system has become something that is easy to administer from the point of view of local authorities and not particularly bureaucratic from the point of view of breeders. And that loses sight then of the importance of animal welfare at its heart. So there are something like 2,000 licensed breeders here in the UK at the moment. But, you know, between 2018 and 2023, something like 10,000 breeding licenses have been issued. So people renew them each year. So the cumulatively 10,000 have been issued. Only a tiny fraction of those have ever been refused. So that doesn't suggest to us that there's a proper kind of scrutiny going on. So if you're in the system, it's quite easy really to get a license. And if you're renewing a license, it's even easier. So it just becomes a bit of a tick box system.
Mm-hmm.
And only 35 out of those 10,000 licenses, as far as we can find out, have ever been revoked or suspended or pulled, you know, taken off of the breeder. So, and the reason for this, we think, is there is our local authorities are so stretched, and particularly these licensing officers. They can come into work in the morning, they can be sent off to license a scrapyard or to license a nail salon after that, and then a license a gambling casino or taxis. And then they're having to license dog breeders. So they're having to become experts in a whole range of different issues. But the specialism and the expertise needed to be able to make informed judgments about what constitutes good or bad welfare from a dog breeder is, we feel, a bit of a step too far. So we think that there needs to be a system set up where there are specialist teams that are created in the different regions of the UK, and they provide a service to a multitude of different local authorities. So you don't have someone in one local authority who knows a bit about animal welfare. You've got a team of people in an area who are absolutely expert. And when someone puts in an application for a license, then that team of people goes and actually issues that licenses and makes properly informed judgment.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, the problem at the moment, you say, probably, is kind of financial. That isn't going to go away with this plan of yours, is it? How's that going to be paid for?
No, well, actually, we thought about this long and hard, and it was one of the main reasons for actually advocating this particular idea, because there is a saving to be made here. So instead of having individuals in each different local authority, you have a small team of expert individuals who provide that support service for a number of different local authorities. Now, they've trialled this system in Wales. It's a really innovative project for the last 3 years. And it's represented cost savings. It's meant that actually enforcement levels have gone up. More penalty notices, or at least improvement notices, have been issued, which appears to suggest that when you, spend more time actually investigating and checking on these breeders, they actually identify more things that they could do to improve themselves. So the Welsh model is a really good step forward. So I think that providing there's a means of being able to save money through this, then it's almost a no-brainer. It's like, why wouldn't you do it? And I think there's two other things. First of all, we found massive differences in the cost of license fees from different local authorities. So at a low level, license fees paid by the breeder to the local authority can be as low as £88. And yet in other areas, they can be over £1,000. So it doesn't seem as though the fees are set at a level where they are being able to properly pay for all of the training, all of the proper enforcement, the inspections that are needed. We also know that local authorities are very unwilling to spend money on legal costs. So they wouldn't really want to take a breeder to court for non-compliance or for, you know, not doing what they should be doing in order to comply with the licensing conditions.
Whatever setup needs teeth, doesn't it? Otherwise, there's no point.
Yeah. Even within the licensing industry, we're being told, look, you know, I've identified, a breeder that's not great, but I'm actually being told by our legal department not to progress this because we're worried it's going to cost us money. And I mean, that's not even that's actually taking away money that they have. It's not even that it's going to cost more. So there's an unwillingness to do that. And as I said, when you look at those figures, out of 10,000 licenses issued over 5 years, just 35 have been revoked or suspended. You know, when we've asked, well, what's the reason for that? It's a very clear response is because our legal department just don't want us to get involved in protracted legal issues or anything that's going to, you know, further cost, take away council resources. There also needs to be meaningful disincentives, and even if that is better scrutiny and better improvement notices and, you know, a greater level of cooperative working with the breeders by the local authorities to try and move them to a better place and actually, you know, get them to work with them to become better. That's better than simply just saying, yes, we'll approve the notice, approve the license, as is happening at the moment.
So the end result of this kind of poor practices of dog breeders that may or may not be licensed but certainly don't seem to be inspected very much can be, you know, dogs that are unwell, really quite unwell. They might also be, you know, kind of quite aggressive. You know, if dogs are brought up nicely, you know, they behave nicely. But if they're treated badly, they will behave badly. And if they've been ill-treated by people, guess what? They don't seem to like people very much. So the end result is kind of a family pet, which might not be appropriate.
No, it might not. And I mean, one of the criteria for ensuring that a license condition is issued is that the mum is fit to breed. Now, there's a bigger issue there around, what constitutes fit to breed. And I mean, this goes back to what I was saying before about, well, how does somebody who's licensing the scrap metal yards make a really informed judgment that mum is fit to breed? But I mean, that mum could be unhealthy. The mum could be ill. It could mean that when those pups are born, she's struggling to, properly bring them up. It might mean that that the breeder might have a different idea about what it takes to sort of socialize a dog, or in those early weeks and months of dog being brought up, they might have a different idea to what is necessary to happen than other breeders. And one of the things the Four Paws research has found probably more than anything is there is just complete lack of standardization about licensing enforcement. So one borough or council might have a completely different approach to dog breeding licensing than another one. And that means that it's very, very uneven. And we saw this again with some of the responses. We saw some authorities getting very, very large numbers of complaints from the general public, and others hardly getting any at all, which would seem to suggest that the levels of response to both complaints and also non-compliance, or, use a better word than non-compliance, breeders not fulfilling the obligations of their license, were all very, very different. And the outcome of that can only be, poorer animal welfare for those animals concerned than an authority which is really investing time and effort to work with those breeders and to make sure that those animals have the best start in life.
Right. So you've mentioned some of the sort of official way forward of potentially, combating this, dealing with the issue. But what about the great British public who love dogs and want to buy a dog? What advice can you give to not fuel the problem, but try and do something about the problem for the average punter, someone like me that wants a dog?
Yeah, and we have this amazing but also awful thing called social media now, and the social media platforms have become the marketplace for buying and selling dogs, and it is the Wild West out there. There are so many breeders on social media selling dogs which have been imported from overseas, which are ill, which are not licensed, and this is the key thing, they are not licensed by local authorities. So there can be absolutely no guarantee that when you see that dog on being advertised for sale on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, that it's had that best start in life, which we think is so important. So from our point of view, the most important message is to say, be more than wary about buying dogs on social media. The problem is, and we've all done it, I mean, you said you're a dog owner too, you see it, you go and look at a puppy and just say, this is the one for me, I've absolutely fallen in love with this, I know I want to have this particular dog. But those unscrupulous dealers are preying on that. You go into that situation and perhaps you aren't doing the things you should be doing, like, well, can I see mum? Is mum here? Now, that's supposed to be an obligation. So you're supposed to be able to see mum. And if you can't see mum, then that should start setting alarm bells off.
Mm-hmm. So this is, you're saying, go in person to the breeder's place. Property.
Always. And ask lots of questions. Ask to see mum.
That's one question. Next question.
Yeah. The other thing to do is ask your local vet, because the likelihood is that a good breeder will have had a lot to do with the local vet. And so the local vet should be able to give you advice. Look on your local authority website. there should be a list of licensed breeders on that website, who and that you will be able to get a verification from them that they have at least been issued with a license by the local authority. And as I said, you know, we have concerns about the way that that license system is being administered, but it's certainly better than buying from an illegal, unlicensed breeder. Don't be afraid to say no. And take a step back. You know, when you've visited that dog, take a step back and have a think about what it is you really want and about that commitment that it is that you've got to make. And in fact, what we always say more than anything is, if you can adopt from your local rescue centre, then do that as well and give a dog that is desperate for a new life.
Rescue centres aren't always what they may advertise themselves as. They might be another way of bringing dogs in. Right. So if the great British public want to buy a dog, what's the best way forward to ensure that they're not fueling the problem?
Well, as you said earlier, now, you know, it's a million sales a year. It's an awful lot of sales. There is an awful lot that the public can do and should be doing and actually aren't. So the first thing to say is we have this amazing thing called social media. So it's amazing in some respects, but awful in others, because it does provide a platform for an awful lot of very unscrupulous, devious breeders. And I think one of the first messages is, do not buy via social media if you possibly can do. Like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok is an absolute wild west for illegal breeders. They are selling animals that have been brought in from overseas, being bred in very, very poor conditions, and an awful lot of them are very, very ill. Always, if you can, look on the local authority website for a list of licensed breeders, and that is as much of a guarantee as you possibly can get that some verification has been carried out on those breeders themselves. Always, if you go and visit then those breeders, ask to see mum, ask to see the mother dog at the same site. Always use the resources available on sites like ours, such as www.4-paws.org.uk. There's some great resources on there that we've developed with experts, which explain to people what it is they should do in order to do their homework before they go, long before they actually even go and start thinking about buying a dog. And then finally, always, if it's at all possible, rather than buying, adopt, and look if you can go to your local animal rescue centre, your local dog rescue centre. There are some really, really great rescue centres out there. You'll be able to get really good advice on those and recommendations on those, perhaps from your local vet. But we'd always say, if it's possible to give an animal, a dog, a new lease of life that is looking for a home already, then do that rather than buying.
But do you have to be a little bit careful of rescue centres? Are some rescue centres essentially just bringing animals in from overseas but under another name?
Sadly, yes. We have seen that happening. I think that the bill that I mentioned earlier on is going to go some way towards actually stopping that too. But I think, you know, the bottom line really is there are an awful lot of dogs here domestically in the UK that are looking for homes. It's much better in any case to be able to give a home to someone for a dog that's looking for a home here in the UK rather than bring another one in from overseas. Yeah. So it's always, always better to do that.
Certainly, certainly. Just back to the breeders. Is there independent lists of breeders that other organisations might have? I'm thinking here, like the Kennels Club? Is that a thing? It is, isn't it?
Yeah, the Kennel Club do have a list, but those are only for breeders are affiliated to the Kennel Club. I mean, one of the things that part of the research we've done is now starting to broker a discussion both within the licensing community and also with government about therefore to me much more information provided and a centralized list of breeders. And there are some quite innovative ideas that are being developed at the moment to come up with systems which just provide that assurance that actually we are not getting at the moment. So we're pretty confident that with the research that we've done and what we've been able to present, there's now an understanding that there are big holes in the system. And I think that actually that list some sort of portal which provides you with an opportunity to be able to interrogate all these different breeders is going to be created. And that's certainly our campaign objective for the next couple of years.
Okay, that sounds like a good objective. But before we start, just kind of a final word of advice and caution. If someone, you know, wants to go out this afternoon and buy a dog or start the process, like the most important thing that they need to do.
Yeah, the most important thing is not to use social media. Do not dial on to WhatsApp. And it's where so many breed buyers are getting their dogs from now. If you talk to a neighbour or if you talk to somebody who's bought a cockapoo and they say, "Oh, I got this great deal. It was fantastic. I got it. It was cheap, and I got it from it was being advertised on Instagram." And so there's a real temptation to kind of do that that quick thing. Everybody wants things quickly. They don't want to have to kind of do that research and do the homework that's necessary. But it is so necessary. You're taking an animal that's going to be with you for upwards of 10 years, and it's not something you should be making quick decisions about. It's not like going and buying a car or something. You wouldn't instantly do that. You would do your research, you would do your homework, and there's much more emotion attached to buying a dog, but there's much more responsibility as well. And I think that we live in an era now where everybody wants things quickly and immediately, and I think that the most caution I could possibly urge is to say, this is not something you can do quickly, because there are consequences both for yourself and for the animal, and it's something that you have to do your homework for. And go on our website, www.4-paws.org.uk, and there's some great resources there which will talk you through what is necessary to be able to do before you actually start going and even visiting puppy breeders.
Okay, that all sounds like very good advice, Simon. So thank you very much indeed for taking the time to chat.
Not at all. Very good to speak to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to my guest on this week's show, and that was Simon Pope from the charity 4paws UK, and the topic was dogs and dog breeders. Please do remember, if you suffer from a bad back or you're worried about your posture, do check out my website, relaxbackuk.com. There you can see all about the BackApp chair. This is an office chair which has helped hundreds of people who really do find sitting at their desk very uncomfortable, or they're just worried about their posture and what it's doing to them over the years. It'll explain how it can help you, and it really probably will be a very good thing for you if that is a problem. Thank you for listening to the show, and have a healthy week until next week.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.